I mean, it is a drug. And if I need to get shit done, I'll have a coffee. But with matcha, it's much more of a subtle effect. But I do feel, in a way, I feel better having drunk matcha than I do caffeine.
Welcome to the Wellness Breakdown, where we examine the latest health trends and we discuss how lifestyle and nutrition can truly change the way you live.
I'm Eve Kalinick. I'm a nutritional therapist, author and consultant.
And I'm Rose Ferguson. I'm a functional medicine practitioner and also an author.
Yeah, we haven't always been in this game. Rose spent most of her youth on international catwalks as one of the most iconic 90s supermodels.
I'm not sure about that. But Eve had a very hectic career as a fashion PR. So we've definitely been there, we've done it, and there is no room here to preach.
Yeah, this isn't one of those waggy finger should do podcasts. We're here to dig into some of the wellness trends, figure out whether some of this stuff is just nonsense, and give our personal and professional opinions on some of it.
It amazes me that the global wellness industry is now worth over $5 trillion. So before you go out spending your hard-earned cash on the latest new thing, make sure you listen to the Wellness Breakdown first. The Wellness Breakdown is sponsored by Ancient and Brave, a mission-driven wellness brand with an award-winning range of collagen, MCT oil, and nootropic blends. From supporting menopausal symptoms to supercharging your energy, Ancient and Brave's products are pure, potent, and easy to make part of your daily, morning, or wellness ritual.
Personally, I find the true collagen really easy to take, and I normally add it into my morning coffee, which is a habit that I already have ingrained. I'm never going to miss my morning coffee, and it's definitely a way to maintain consistency.
Yes, well, I love collagen too, and I've been using Ancient and Brave for a very long time, and I do use it with clients, I use it for myself. I do actually love the cacao blends. I love the collagen one with cacao. Delicious.
Yeah, and what really sets them apart is their sustainability. They're a B Corp as well as a member of the 1% for the Planet. This means donating 1% of all sales to environmental causes that protect the planet, because collective action adds up. So buying their products means you're supporting the planet too. Visit 1percentfortheplanet.org to learn more.
This week, we are looking at matcha. And this is my go-to because I don't drink coffee, so I drink quite a lot of matcha and green tea, but we're going to try and focus on matcha. So first of all, what is matcha? For those of you who don't know, it's dried green leaves, obviously. But actually what's interesting about it and what gives it that vibrant colour is the fact that it's actually grown in shaded areas for the end part before it gets picked, because that helps the chlorophyll levels to rise.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as we know, and why we tell all our clients to like keep, you know, their oils and things like that, like the olive oils in dark glass jars and away from heat, is that heat and light does destroy some of the antioxidants in those foods and in green tea. When you dry it, you know, out in the sun, which is the regular green tea, that's why it has slightly lower antioxidants than, say, the matcha, because it's not in the light and the heat, then actually it retains a lot more of those antioxidants. And that's the pigmentation. That's why it's so bright green.
It's interesting. We'll talk a little bit about the history of matcha, but it is really interesting, the whole ritual from making it to the growing of it to the history of it. It's kind of an amazing culture, matcha culture, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in more recent years as well, certainly in the last 5 years, it's massively grown in popularity, hasn't it? For good and bad. Like, it's a lot more available now, like more people are kind of aware of matcha than they were, I'd say 5 years, wouldn't you, Rose?
Yeah.
And now you see it like in kind of like lots of products, some of which are kind of like marketing hoodwinking, like, you know, they shove a little bit of matcha in and then call something matcha, which is not, you know, ideal. And that's why I think we're here to kind of differentiate what is true matcha, like the real deal stuff, and what is not really stepping up in a way. Because I was convinced that this had come, like, originally was from Japan, but as it transpires, and you knew this, didn't you, Rose, that it's from China?
It is. It's from the Tang Dynasty in the 8th century. So the history around matcha is phenomenal. It is from China, but actually the matcha that we know and the process of making that matcha and making the leaves in something called tencha, which is what becomes matcha, is Japanese.
Yeah. And that's where most of the matcha comes from now. It's actually grown in Japan.
Yeah.
Should we talk a bit about how to make a matcha, like a traditional matcha? Because I think, again, it's good to differentiate between what is like a matcha latte and some of the kind of like junky matcha, if that's the right expression for it, versus like the OG stuff.
Okay, well, I have to say that making a matcha or getting a proper matcha is entirely different from what I had the other day at Paddington Station. I bought a matcha. Yeah. I'm not going to name names, but let
name
me tell
and shame.
You, I am not going to name and shame, even though I'm really dying to, because I was so horrified by this matcha. It was a matcha latte from a very well-known not fast food, healthy food sort of place. And it was so revolting. I was like, because it just didn't taste anything like it has as a matcha should taste. Because matcha has a very, very distinct flavour. It's got that sort of savoury. I guess it's an umami kind of flavour. You know, it's kind of bitter and sweet. And some people say it tastes a bit fishy. lots of people don't like it, for one. But yeah, they are not all made equal. Powders are not all equal. But so when you're making matcha, part of it, I understand why some of these faster food places don't do it properly, because it takes time, because you have to whisk. And so usually you'd get a matcha bowl and a matcha whisk, and that's like a bamboo whisk.
Yeah.
You're not even supposed to do it in circles. So you're supposed to sieve the powder, and then you put it maybe it's only one teaspoon anyway. I just go shake, shake, shake. So with the whisk, you need to do it in a W shape.
Yeah.
So you're going up and down, up and down, up and down, really quite fast and vigorously, not in circles. You do it in a W, and then that creates the frothy, it gets air in it. It also, if you haven't sieved it, which I definitely don't, it will get rid of any of the,
lumps. Yeah.
Lumps, that's exactly it. And that's what I do. Also, the water temperature. I mean, I get really into the ritual of it. It's really geeky and I love it.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, it's part of the whole process, really, isn't it? Yeah.
The other thing that is really key with matcha is, and actually this is the same for lots of tea, I have to say, herbal teas, that you should not be boiling water onto it, because it just basically essentially ruins your nutrients and burns it and changes flavour. Even with coffee, I think that's the same, isn't it? So you should be using around 80 degrees. So let the water boil and go off the boil quite a little bit. And then that's what you add, and then you mix it. Now, I do use a little bit of plant milk in mine.
Okay.
But not a lot. But that's not quite the same. I mean, the ones that you get in the shops, which we can slag off all the way through, they usually use a lot of oat milk or a lot of plant milk, less matcha. Mine's very matchery, and it's a really bright green colour when I'm done with it.
Yeah. Also lots of sugar in there, because it's like comparing really good quality coffee, like a good filter coffee, with like a sugary, syrupy, like milky thing, which I wouldn't even call coffee either, from well-known chains, right?
We're so nice, aren't we, not saying anything horrible about people.
I know. I mean, I'm not saying all chains are bad, by the way, but like in terms of coffee, but like the big ones, I mean, I would personally, I'm not buying coffee from them. So it is kind of, it is a similar thing. And I mean, I drink my matcha without any milk in it, because there's a certain brand that I drink more often, and he's very particular. When I said something about putting some milk in, it was like an absolute look of disgust at me. So I was like, oh my God. So every time I even entertain the idea of putting milk in it, I have this kind of like vision of Jamil like here going, what are you doing? But it is quite nice sometimes to cigarette milk in there. And I think actually for people that are not used to the flavour, it can kind of like soften it a bit. But like you said, if you're drinking really good quality matcha, it shouldn't really taste fishy. It should taste quite like smooth with like a grassy undertone, like the umami flavours that you're talking about. And also, as we found out yesterday, courtesy of lovely Jamil at Lelaney & Co., that apparently there is no such thing as ceremonial grade. There's no kind of like regulations around that. So you can basically call something ceremonial grade and it means kind of nothing. And so he was talking about the sourcing and why that's super, super important. Basically, it's about really digging into like the picking season, the varietals, the milling methods, the producers, which I know is quite a lot for people to take on board. But he was talking about how it's really important to buy organic, because if you're buying non-organic, there can be a lot of pesticides, actually, because the regulations in Japan are not as kind of rigid as they are here. So I guess that'd be one tip we could give people listening, is to just look a little bit into the kind of sourcing, but definitely looking at organic, don't you think, Rose?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, I also think that if it's cheap, it's probably not worth buying. I mean, because matcha, I have to say, I think we just have to be honest about it, is not cheap. Good matcha, it really isn't cheap. And when you hear what you're talking about, Eve, like the whole process of making it, it's a convoluted, careful, slow process. It takes time. And so the product at the end, if it's worth its salt or worth its matcha, it's going to be expensive. And I know, because actually the ceremonial grade is really interesting, because you're right, it's sort of like, that was like the standard of just how to differentiate between a crap and a good one. And if that doesn't even hold true, then it's difficult, because there are so many out there. Mm. And actually, do you know what? I did go and have a look on Amazon before this, and you can just see that loads of ceremonial, and the price ranges from like 70 quid to 7 quid. So it is a minefield of what to buy. Yeah. But I think, I mean, organic definitely, because there is an issue with pesticides on it. And there is quite a lot of, when they looked and analysed matches, they found quite a lot of things like lead contamination and stuff like that. So it's really important to get the sourcing right.
Yeah, absolutely. We should talk about why somebody, I mean, apart from, I mean, you and I both really love the flavour. I think it's worth kind of like trying it, because some people are originally like, what is that? Like, it's green and it looks weird. But there are a huge amount of benefits to matcha. I guess the main thing that's been, or the compound that's been most studied, and this is also in green tea as well, is the EGCG. And I'm not going to like try and say the word, because it's like tongue twisting, but it is basically a type of antioxidant, a flavanol really, from tea catechins. And that's the kind of main compound that's been studied. But matcha does have other antioxidants in it, and it has things like, it's high in vitamin K, like other green leafy veg. So there are other benefits to it, but that's the one that's kind of been studying research. And to be honest, you know, I did dig in a little bit into just some studies and research. There's actually quite a lot out there actually in terms of the benefits, particularly related to stress, and some data to suggest things around focus and memory, not so much mood, but definitely stress, and potentially some protective cognitive benefits, although again, very, very early days. But it was quite interesting to see like how much is out there really in terms of those benefits.
Yeah, EGCG is, as you say, really good for brain function, and there's maybe a bit of liver protection in there. I mean, it's good for your metabolism, because it will help, you know, it helps sort of chivvy that along. The reason I don't drink coffee, I'll say it again, because everyone always says, what do you mean you don't drink coffee? It's not because it's a health choice. It's because my body doesn't work well with coffee. It shakes. I mean, I really do shake.
The type of caffeine in it, you mean?
Yeah, I'm just a poor, and actually I've done DNA tests, so I know that I'm bad at processing that type of caffeine. Whereas with matcha, I'm totally fine. And that's because A, it's a different type of caffeine, but also it has something called L-theanine in it, which sort of counterbalances the caffeine hit. But you know, so I think that's something to sort of think about. I get a real boost from matcha. I get excited about it. So it might be perceived, I get excited about it. I get excited about making it. And when I've had it, I really feel like, ooh, yay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and I think from talking to you, Eve, about coffee, it's a very similar effect.
Well, actually, I think it is different.
Right.
I agree with you. Sometimes if I've drunk coffee and I'm already stressed, I can feel quite anxious. I have to be quite moderate with my coffee consumption, depending on what's going on in my life, what time of the month I am. So I'm much worse at metabolizing caffeine around or coming up to my cycle, because obviously my liver's doing a shite load with hormones. So it's like, oh, you're going to stick some caffeine in there and speed this up even more. So I do kind of veer off it a little bit at certain points, like I said, especially if I'm stressed or feeling anxious. But it does definitely have a different effect. So caffeine, and also sometimes it's bloody marvellous. I mean, it is a drug. And if I need to get shit done, I'll have a coffee, right? But with matcha, it's much more of a subtle effect. But I do feel, in a way, I feel better having drunk matcha than I do caffeine. I don't think I'm a particularly great metabolizer of caffeine. I've never done a test, DNA test, because frankly, ignorance is bliss as far as I'm concerned there, because I love
you
coffee.
You would know, trust me.
Yeah.
I literally am like, I feel like a gibber. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've had a coffee, since the 90s. Honestly, maybe I should try it and go wild and see what happens, and we can report back on it.
Well, yeah, and also it depends on like what's going on. Like if you are having a really stressful period, or you're not sleeping very well, which then you might rely on it more, but actually it kind of has a negative effect, counterproductive effect. So there's lots of reasons why. But also it's not about either or. Like I drink coffee and I drink matcha for different reasons. But yeah, the L-theanine, which has like a calmative effect essentially, is probably why it has in these randomized clinical trials shown to help with stress, because it is doing that. It's kind of helping to calm the nervous system.
I mean, I would say, having said that, matcha will, if you drink loads of it, then you will probably interfere with your sleep cycle at night. Yeah. So I wouldn't be drinking 6 cups during the day and drinking your last one at 7 p.m. at night, because that might interrupt your sleep pattern. There's a concern around iron absorption. So if you're very low on iron, I would think about that, because I think it can interfere with the absorption of iron. So that would be something else to think about. What are the downsides of matcha, would you say, Eve?
I mean, I'd struggle to find them, because I was just thinking there about how it's so high in these polyphenols, which are the special plant chemicals which gives it its green. So for gut health as well, I actually proactively ask clients to drink green tea and matcha, because it's so high, and that has a positive impact on the balance of the microbes in our gut, and also it helps to reduce inflammation more generally. I mean, I'd say the downside is probably, to be honest, the first thing that springs to mind is the cost. Oh, and one other thing, it is very, very staining on teeth, like more than coffee.
It's true.
But otherwise,
ice matches are quite a big thing too, because I was thinking about teeth straw.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
But they, again, it depends how you have it. And the one you talked about that your friend makes.
Yeah.
Sounds absolutely delicious.
Yeah. So he was adding also sparkling water into it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which was really nice. And like obviously putting it in ice cubes and having it in like a glass. And that was really cool, actually.
Yeah.
Really refreshing. So yeah, you could do that. That would circumnavigate the teeth issue.
Because matcha gets used in lots of different ways now. Well, now that I'm thinking about all the different ways, because people make matcha bowls, they sprinkle matcha onto salads. You know, people using the flavour of matcha for lots of other things, which would still give you the polyphenol, the nutrient intake, but I guess you probably would be less. It wouldn't give you such a boost, sort of energy wise.
It depends on how much you'd be adding in, but if you're using it like if you're baking it, then obviously that will destroy some of the antioxidants in it. But it does give nice flavours. Actually, there's a matcha and macadamia blondies recipe up on my website if people want to go and have a look at that. We swirl it in and it just looks quite pretty, like green cookies.
Because also there are lots of blends of matcha. So actually our lovely sponsors, Ancient and Brave, do a matcha blend with other ingredients, which is actually delicious.
Really lovely.
Really nice. It's very warming. So there are quite a few things. So I would say if you're a starter with matcha, you could get the benefits without, you know, investing 70 quid in a tiny pot of matcha. No, it doesn't cost that much, but it can do. But it's being added into lots of things is what I'm trying to say, is that you'll find it in lots of different areas, not just a matcha cup of.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly think if you want to experiment with matcha, I would buy some and do it at home, because I really enjoy making it. And I think actually the ritual and history around matcha is quite, well, just even the ritual of making it, it slows you down. It means that you take a minute. You get really proud of making I get really proud of making my matcha, and I really enjoy making it. I really enjoy making a nice cup. I really enjoy drinking it. And in the middle of a mad day, taking that moment is a really nice thing to do. And even if you were at work, all you have to do is get a bowl and take your matcha whisk and your matcha. As long as you've got a kettle, you can make a matcha anywhere you are. So that was something that I think is important to mention, because it's a nice ritual. I like it.
No, I think that's super, super important. And I think that's the key part of like getting out of our day-to-day routine and taking a moment to, you know, spend time doing that, because otherwise we're just dunking a tea bag in and putting the hot water in and off we go type of thing. So it's a different sense around that. So I totally agree. So hopefully we've convinced you guys to if you're not already seasoned match drinkers, drinking more matcha. But yeah, should we do some emails, Rose?
Yes, let's do some emails. And also, if any of you do try matcha or try a recipe, please let us know how you get on with it, because we'd love to hear. Right, emails.
Hi, Rosa Eve. I am going through IVF at the moment and I'm struggling to get the correct information about diet. Your podcast was really insightful. Thank you so much, Adrian. Yeah, we've had quite a few emails off the back of that one.
Yeah.
Which I hope has helped some people, because, yeah, it's such a complicated, isn't even really the word, but, you know, there's a lot that surrounds that. So I hope it's been useful.
Yeah. Hi, ladies. I haven't used dairy milk for years, mainly because I don't like the taste. I have been buying almond milk from what I assumed was a health brand, but after listening to your podcast, I've discovered, yes, totally full of crap. The problem I found is that by the time you really begin to care about what ingredients are in your food, your eyesight isn't good enough to read them. It's a conspiracy. I mean, Susanna, I'm with you. It's so annoying. And it's so true. When your eyesight can read that tiny little ingredients page, you don't give a shit. But when you get to older and caring, you can't read it. Yes, well, I'd say just take your phone, photograph it, blow it up. There's no shame in that.
No. And also a good that, like, you know, she's, you know, switched up her milk after listening to what we were talking about. Because I think a lot of people might be quite surprised as to what's in there.
It is really frustrating that it really pisses me off that, you know, it's like, oh, this is a healthy thing. And actually it's not. And you just think, God, it's really unfair and it's annoying. Anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Rant over.
Well, if you haven't already listened to that podcast episode, do listen back, because we do go into that in a lot more detail and like what is a healthy plant milk and what isn't, essentially.
Thank you so much for listening. You can email us at info@thewellnessbreakdown.co.uk or subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're subscribing to the YouTube channel, please leave a comment. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Any topics that you want us to maybe cover? We always love to hear from you.
Yes, it was lovely. Sorry, I don't know what I'm saying there. That was good. I don't need to say anything. See you next week.
See you next week, everyone.